Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio with your host, Pastor Cheryl Faxton. Thank you so much for joining me today for Favor Life, the process of there where we walk by faith and not by sight, to the call to the destiny and purpose of God. And as we do, we become light to someone else. We become salt for someone else, to favor, and they see the glory of God in our lives. It is in this process that God makes us, He shapes us, He moves us to the purpose that He has called and destined us to. As we grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we are changed line upon line, precept upon precept, glory to glory, height to height, depth to depth. And it is amazing because we see God's hand, His handiwork, on our lives, doing something awesome, doing something wonderful that we know that we ourselves would never be able to do. We've been looking at unlikely places of blessing, seeing how God can take a place that seems as if it's an impossible place, a place that it looks like His word and His will for our life is not manifesting. And He takes that place and He turns it into the miracle that blesses not only us, but our family and our nation, as it did with many of the people in the Bible. It was a blessing to the nations. And we understand that God has called us not only to just save ourselves and save our family, but to be a blessing to those around us. So you might be that link to some family or community or something that is going to cause someone else to believe in the Lord and to hope and to love Him with all their heart. So this unlikely place that we're looking at now is a place of leadership. David is qualified by God, called by God, anointed by God, and he is in a place where he's being trained in this process to be a leader. And he's not only training himself, he's training the 600 men that are following him how to have godly character, integrity, how to pursue God, love God, worship God. So he's training these men who will then train their family how to love God and pursue God, and then he's going to train or lead a nation in how to love God as well. So we're going to go back and look at this again, get empowered a little bit more, and find out how God will take us and use these same type of tactics in a different time, different century, to get us ready for leadership, to prepare us even more for leadership, and to teach us how to walk in leadership in a greater dimension. So let's go there now. When we left off yesterday, David is now at this place where it's time for the fight to happen, the battle to happen. And he's now the king of the Philistines, has basically gotten him to come and be his personal chief guardian in the battle, and he's there, and he knows he cannot fight against Israel. So he's waiting on God's deliverance. He's waiting on God's hand. He's waiting on God to show up. Now Saul basically has showed up to this battle, and Samuel the prophet is dead, and he does not have anyone to basically bring him into the presence of God or give him a word. Samuel has not done this. And he is looking for an answer. He cannot get in dreams or in around the other prophets that are there a word or answer from God. And so he now goes, instead of repenting and going to God, he now goes and he gets consults a medium, a spiritualist, someone who talks to the dead. And he's doing this, and it is forbidden. It is against the law of God because it was spoken and said that in the book of Deuteronomy and in Exodus that they're not to consult with mediums, and these people were basically forbidden to come into the city. And so Saul goes and he consults with one, finds one outside of the city, disguises himself so that he can now talk to hear what Samuel has to say. Okay, so this is where we're at. He goes and he does this, and David, at this particular time, knows that he cannot fight. So he's waiting on the deliverance of God. Saul's going to consult a medium because his heart is terrified. He's afraid of this battle. He's afraid of this fight, and he's terrified, and he wants to hear what God has to say. And instead of him repenting and going and saying, God, I've messed up, he's still allowing justification, haughty spirit, and pride to lead him. So he's still going further into the spirit of rebellion against God and against his will instead of repenting and saying, God, I need you to take me back and watch me and lead me. So We have to be careful, as I said before, we have to be careful that we keep a heart that is open before the Lord, that is repentant, that we're constantly saying, Holy Spirit, show me where I'm erring, show me where I'm going the wrong way, so that we don't begin to walk in our own pride and our own justification and a haughty spirit. The Word of God lets us know there's a way that seemeth right to all men, but at the end there's destruction. We don't want that seemeth right path. We want the righteous path. We want that which is the perfect will of God, not that which is seemeth right, not the permissive will. We want that which is perfect, because when we're aligned with the perfect will of God, we see the demonstration of His power, His favor, His love, His authority, His will, and every good and perfect thing around His throne being done. Doesn't mean you're not going to have trouble, but you'll see that in anything that you go through or face, God is with you, and He's given you the answers and the strength to go through it and come out of it looking like He says, producing what He says, and speaking the words that He says and giving Him glory. That's the difference. When you do it on your own, it's by your own strength, it's by your own power. And we understand that our power is very limited, and we cannot do anything outside of the will of God because we don't know the future. We can try, we can attempt, but it's not going to prosper, it's not going to work, and it's not going to be what God says. But when we align with God's will, we see the demonstration of His power, and we know that all things, we understand it's going to work for our good. Even in the midst of something painful, it's going to work for our good, and we're going to see the demonstration of God's power in our life. This is where we're at. And Saul consults this medium, and she understands that he's not supposed to be there. She even says to him, you're deceiving me. And what happens is she says, you're going to kill me. Saul swears by the name of the Lord that he's not going to kill this woman, that he's not going to destroy her, which lets you see how far his rebellion has gone. How can you swear by the name of the Lord that you're not going to kill or destroy or get rid of something that is against his divine will, and you use his name to do it? This is what he's done, which takes him further in to this place of rebellion. He even lets her know that he's going to protect her. Now, how is he going to protect her when he himself cannot be protected by God? So he says he's going to protect her, and that he's going to be there, and that he's going to give her what she needs. She then consults, and this is an argument between many theologians, scholars. They believe that she did not consult the spirit of Samuel, but she consulted a demonic force. Now, we understand that at this particular time, there was a gulf that separated the righteous and the unrighteous, that Jesus had not come, and he had not died, and he had not taken the righteous from the bosom of Abraham, which was what it was called, the gulf that separated them, to the place of paradise. So it was possible for her to do what she did, because everyone at this particular point in time had not been separated completely, with the righteous going to paradise with Jesus, because the price had not been paid yet, and those who were in hell. There was a gulf that separated them, and righteous, where the righteous was far better, but they were still in the same holding place. Now, she could have done that because of where they were at this particular time. There's no way, now that Jesus has paid the price, that anyone could consult someone that is in the presence of God in paradise and who is a righteous person. The only thing that they can do is talk to someone that is in the vows of hell, and consult them, or consult someone that knows of that individual limitedly, but not what they've done since they've been in the blood of Jesus Christ and they've been washed and they are now healed. So the enemy was able to do that because of that particular setting and that particular time. Now, she tells him something, and she tells him what he does not want to hear. He tells him because of his rebellion, he is now, because he has not repented, because he is not in the right place, that God is not listening to him, God is not answering him, and his presence is not there. She also lets him know that he's going to die and his son. So all of these things are coming to pass, and that he's going to lose the battle. Okay, all of these things are coming to pass, and she's telling him all these things. But in the midst of all that is going on, David himself gets his deliverance, because remember, he said, I need God's deliverance. I need his deliverance from this battle. So what God does is allow prince who were there with the king, who were probably governors or different areas who brought their people to come out and fight, they didn't want David and his men there. They were angry, and they said, he's going to become an ally of Israelites, and he's going to fight against us. And they began to rehearse the song that was sung about David and Saul, how David has killed his 10,000. And they did not want him there. So in the midst of what was going on, even though the king tried to come to David's side and reassure him, that did not happen. So David was sent away. So even in that, God delivered David. So you got to understand, when you're facing certain battles, God will deliver you when you depend on him and trust him and not do it yourself. He's not going to let you be ashamed. This is all the time that I have for this time. We'll come back next week and we'll pick this up and even go further, because we're going to see a transfer of the kingdom, and we're going to see David take that place of reigning. I pray that you have a wonderful worship service and have a blessed time in the Lord this weekend. Know that God is for you, no matter what's going on. He's going to deliver you, and he's going to be there for you. Be blessed.